Scott Harreld is known for his interviews.
Boy, you're asking great questions. I think you're in the right career path, my friend. I really do.
Scott Harreld's SOS Radio podcast starts now.
We refer to ourselves as Christians all the time, and rightly so, because that's what we are. But the Bible uses a different term that often is more appropriate for the way that God made us, and we're talking about that today with author Addison Bevere on SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's funny because in the Bible, you only see the term Christian show up just a handful of times.
Yeah, three times. Twice in Acts and once in 1 Peter, to be exact. But it's one of those things where, like, that's what we're known for. We're known as Christians. But if I could be honest with you, Scott, you seem like someone I could be honest with. I haven't liked calling myself a Christian for probably 20 years. Can I say that? I know this is Christian radio, so that's probably a bad thing for me to say.
No.
But it's not that I'm ashamed of Christ. I believe he's the one person who got this whole humanity thing right. I want to follow in his footsteps. I want to learn his ways. I want to study his word. What I don't like, what I'm ashamed of, is the stigmas and the stereotypes and the labels that have been attached to the identifier of Christian. More and more people, they're even referring to this world as a post-Christian world. They're essentially saying, like, hey, we tried that whole Christianity thing. It didn't work, so now we're moving on to other things, which you and I both know is not true. We tried a version of Christianity because the real one we found to be too hard. And so now I think there's this awakening for a lot of people, like, okay, hey, what's actually going on? If our world is disdaining what it is to be a Christian, like, what does that mean for us? Like, how should we identify? What does that mean for us practically in our everyday lives?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Bible uses that word a whole lot more than it ever used the term Jesus follower, Christ follower, Christian. It talks about how we are saints, and we're not talking about people walking around with halos. We're not saying that I'm Mother Teresa or St. Francis of Assisi, but Jesus described us that way a lot more.
He does. You know what's interesting is if you look at the New Testament, it's over 60 times, refers to us as saints. Now, when we think of a saint, we think, as you mentioned, we think of halos on our head. We think of stained glass windows. Essentially, we think of dead people. And so when people hear this word, they're like, what? A saint? But when you look at how it was actually used, it was primarily used by the Apostle Paul. And he would write to these new churches. You got to keep in mind who he was writing to. He was primarily writing to Gentiles, people who didn't belong, people who were new to the faith. And he would write to them, and he would say, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Rome, and it was a statement of identity that reshaped their destiny. And what's sad is we've reduced this term of saint to something that belongs to a select few, a small group of people. Mm-hmm. But the reality is this word was always supposed to energize our lives. It's supposed to be something that gives meaning and purpose to the present. And it's sad that it's been relegated to something that's postmortem.
We're talking about how we trade in our identity and really discover how God created our identity to be as saints. A lot of times we just call it Christians, but that's a term that's not really used a whole lot in the Bible. And we're talking with Addison Bevere today about that. It's interesting because the whole idea of the biblical term saint goes a little deeper than just following Jesus.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it reaches into every part of our lives. Like when we think of following Jesus in today's world, what do we think? We think of, oh, I go to church on Sunday, or I pray, or I read my Bible. But what was so radical about what the early church was being called into, they were being called into a way of being that integrated everything about their lives. So with Jesus, we see this deconstruction of the quote-unquote sacred. The good news, it actually reaches into every area of your life. And that's actually what Paul's getting at, too, in 1 Corinthians 3, where he makes the radical statement that you are God's temple. He's speaking to every single one of us. He's like, you are God's temple. God's temple is holy, and that's exactly what you are. And what he's saying is everywhere you go, you're supposed to bring that microcosm, that intersection of heaven and earth. You're supposed to be the evidence of what God is doing in this world. And it's sad to me that we have these barriers between the secular and the sacred. And in many ways, the idea of Christian, and again, like Scott, you know this, a Christian in and of itself is not a bad term, but what it feeds or what it supports in today's world is a confusing message. And it's often a message that's very contrary to what we saw in Scripture. Like, if you were to just Google the phrase Christians are, you would find words hypocritical, backwards, not in touch with what's happening, judgmental, uneducated. And if you look at Jesus' life, like, that's not the story Jesus was telling with his life. Jesus was telling a story that was very attracted to the people who were lost. He drew the people who were searching. He drew the people who were looking for something more. The only people who were put off by his message were the religious elite. And I want to get back to capturing, like, okay, so what does it actually mean to break down the barriers between the secular and sacred? What does it mean to reclaim every inch of God's good world? Like, that's the gospel message. What does it mean to align our lives with what we see in chapters like Isaiah 11 and Habakkuk 2, where it says that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea? Like, saints capture that vision, and they fight for that vision in their everyday lives.
We're talking about how we can become more than Christians with Addison Bevere today at SOS Radio. And it's interesting, as younger guys in the Christian world, you know, a lot of times when we're trying to dig in and find a new understanding of Jesus, a lot of times our friends kind of lean more towards the liberal. But as you were digging in to really understand what Christianity is and what Jesus taught and how the Bible uses the term saints a whole lot more than it ever used the term Christians, you actually dug more into the sacred.
Yeah, the sacred is also this idea that the sacred is supposed to invigorate the quote-unquote secular. See, ever since the Enlightenment back in the mid-1700s, we've essentially said, hey, we're going to keep our religious institution, we're going to keep that in the sacred space and everything else, arts, science, economics, business, like that's quote-unquote secular.
Yeah.
But the thing about God's message, like the kingdom message, which is what Jesus talked about more than anything else, is that the good news is supposed to invade every single space, and it's supposed to reach every single person. And so what happens is we have all of these people who are younger, particularly younger people, who are like, so what exactly does my faith mean for my everyday life? Like, how does that intersection work? Mm-hmm. And because of that, we find people who they're one way on Sunday, because that's, quote unquote, their sacred space. Mm-hmm. And they're another way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because that's a different world. They haven't learned how to reconcile the two worlds.
Yeah.
And what Jesus modeled for us, is he modeled a way of being human that reconciles every single aspect of our humanity. And to be a saint is actually to become profoundly human. It's to follow in the footsteps of the one person who got this whole humanity thing right. It's to see meaning and value and purpose in our everyday lives. See, so many Christians, they have this idea like, I'm just trying to make it through life so I can get to heaven one day. But a saint is someone who realizes, no, I'm actually supposed to wake up in this lifetime and not just wait until the life to come. I'm supposed to see the purpose and the meaning and the value in this lifetime. And when we start to live like this, we start to see value in our everyday lives. We start to see purpose being a CFO or a mechanic or a stay-at-home mom. And I just hate like the term full-time ministry. I hate the term part-time ministry. Like, those terms bother me.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Ephesians 4, what does it say? It says that the church is supposed to equip who? The saints.
Yeah.
The saints
yeah.
for the work of the ministry, which means that the work of the ministry, the gospel message, is supposed to invade our everyday lives, because that's where meaning happens. The gospel advances at the intersection of relationship. First and foremost, our relationship with God, and then our relationship with this world, with the people in this world. And Scott, I just feel like we've overcomplicated so much of this stuff by reducing it to just a religious practice.
We're talking about really living with a kingdom mindset today with Addison Bevere on SOS Radio. He has a new book. It's called Saints. It's about becoming more than Christians. And a few minutes ago, we were talking about how in our culture, we dig into the sacred versus the secular. And then a lot of people want to say, oh, we live in this post-Christian world. And it's kind of interesting because we put this broad stroke over America in a lot of ways, where there's the East Coast and the South and the West. And we just say, oh, yeah, Jesus isn't relevant anymore. People don't want to hear about it anymore. People are just rejecting what Christ followers do. But I would contend it's really interesting, Addison. If you think about like the East Coast, there have definitely been strongholds of Christianity where people were setting their life around the church, you know, in Plymouth Rock and in the colonies, all the way from New England down through Georgia and even in Florida and St. Augustine. Or you look at the Bible Belt and, you know, how the church community was a big part of a week as a Jesus follower. But on the West Coast, there's never really been any sort of stronghold of Christianity where Americans centered their life around around the church. I mean, look at Washington, Oregon, Nevada, you know, through Arizona and California. I mean, there's a few things like Father Junipero Serra planting the missions up the coast of California, or some of the Jesus movement things that happen in Southern California. But there's never really been a Christian stronghold where people were centering their lives around church culture on the West Coast. I mean, if there's an opportunity for revival in America, I think the West Coast is prime for it.
Oh, I agree. And I think what's happening is we see this prophetic disruption. Prophetic disruptions, they always need to come from within. They don't come from the outside. If you study church history, they come from within. And there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who are removing themselves from church. And I think it's because they don't see what it means to be the people of God. And that's an individual expression and a corporate expression. But they don't see how that actually has bearing, how it has meaning in their everyday lives. And so I think what's happening is there's this group, there's this remnant that's still within the church. Like, they're not content to just stand on the sidelines and throw stones at church. They're coming from within the church and they're saying, hey, let's reimagine what it is to be the people of God. And that's what saints do. Like, saints are people a vision. They practice and they participate in the mystery of the final day. The final day is the kingdom of God being fully revealed, being fully known on this earth as it is in heaven. And so what saints do is they capture a vision of that and they're like, okay, so what does this mean for me in every area of my life? What does it mean for me to be the church? What does it mean for me in an individual sense and also in a corporate sense? And when people start to see that integration of their lives, like what it means to follow Jesus, of what it means to give every part of our lives, every part of existence to him, that's when we start to see revival. It's when we parse out our existence, when we parse out like these different components of our lives, that we start to break down, because it was never supposed to be like that. If you look at Acts, like the story of the church turning the world upside down, early Christianity, when they were subverting cultural norms, when they were reconciling groups of people that didn't belong together. What was so radical about that is it was everything. It became everything. And it didn't start like that. At the beginning, the Jewish people, they wanted to make it about their own ethnicity, their own comfort zone, their own issues. But Jesus said, no, you're not just going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea. You're going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, get your butt out there, go to the Gentiles, go to the places that have been marginalized, go to the places that have been quote-unquote off-limits, those secular places, and show them how this gospel message, this good news, changes everything.
Let's be honest. A lot of people in our culture don't see good news. They see fake news. They see opinion. They see emotion. Yeah. But the gospel essentially means good news. That's what Jesus is sharing, is hope.
Absolutely. And I think one of the sad things about like being a Christian is we've made it about ourselves. We've made it very individualistic. And that's kind of just our Western mentality. But it's like my Christian experience is all about my right standing with God and going to heaven one day and not experiencing condemnation. Like, and it's so self-centric. Like, we've made a gospel message that's so self-centric, but if you actually look at the gospel message, it's actually about you dying to self, essentially getting over your opinion of yourself so you can start seeing yourself and the world the way God sees it. And from that place of illumination, from that place of perspective, you go out and you live differently. You do things differently because you're not self-consumed like everyone else. So people who are self-centered, people who are self-consumed, they're blind. They're blind to what's actually happening in their world because they can't get their eyes off themselves. That's why the journey of growth, the journey of maturation in Christ, we see this idea of our mind being renewed. That's the journey of being able to see ourselves the way God sees us, so we can see the world the way he sees it, so then we can feel for the world what he feels for the world. And when we feel for the world what he feels for the world, then we start to do the things in the world that he did when he came and walked this earth. And that's what it means to be his ambassadors. That's what it means to be his church. That's what it means to be his saints, revealing this plan, this amazing plan, revealing his vision for our world through our everyday lives. We are his ambassadors, which means everything that we do is a reflection of his love, his goodness, his plans for restoration, reconciliation, redemption. And people, they're looking for that. I think so much of the Christian mission has been reduced to like head-to-head arguments. Like, we're going out there and we're trying to argue people into the faith. But what I've found is when we recognize that what it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 is true, this idea that God has written eternity on our hearts. When you speak to that eternity in people, they come alive. They realize, man, this is the life I've been craving. Like, I've been chasing life at the altars of sex, stuff, and status. But no, there's actually something deeper within me that resonates with this invitation. I was actually in Nashville last week. I was doing a book tour for Saints. And I was in a restaurant, and I started talking with the restaurant manager, and he asked me why I was there. And I told him, and he's like, man, I haven't been in church since I was a choir boy. He's like, it's been decades. And we start talking about it. He's like, you know what, Addison? When I've had a few beers, I start to think about God. And I was like, yes, there's my window. I'm going to speak to that. Wow. And I honed in on that. And I started talking to him why that happens. And he leaned over to me. And he was just like, do you see the goosebumps on my arms? And I told him, like, look, God's chasing you. Like, God's after you. And I was so glad I had a book there and I was able to sign it and give them. And he probably thanked me 5 times after I gave him the book.
Yeah.
But this is someone who hasn't been in church for decades because he was, quote unquote, hurt by the church or became disillusioned with God. But he's still searching. Like, people are searching. And I like to say, like, they're going to believe in God. Like, the world's going to believe in God when the world sees the power, the beauty, the love of God represented and reflected in our lives. Like, that's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to be a saint.
Acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time. Those are like the 5 love languages, right? You know, we've talked about those over the years, but did you know that God actually has a love language of his own? And we're talking about it with author Addison Bevere today at SOS Radio. And you wrote a book, it's called Saints. In one of your chapters, you kind of explain that God has this love language. How did he reveal that to you?
Yeah, so I was outside watching my son try to ride a tricycle. He was trying to reach the pedals, but when they went down, he couldn't reach them because he was too short. I remember watching him, and God dropped something in my spirit. He said, I am love. Now, I've grown up in church my whole life. Scott, I've heard 1 John 4 probably 100 times. And so that wasn't anything new. I was like, God, like, okay, that's great. I know your love. And then I could sense he just wanted me to be quiet. And he went on to tell me, and faith is my love language.
Hmm.
And I was like, what? And my response to that was, faith isn't one of Gary Chapman's 5 love languages. That was my response, like my audible response. And then I started thinking about it, and I was reminded of what Hebrews 11:6 says, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I was like, okay, like, we please you through our faith. So that's kind of like a love language. And so that's how we show you that we love you. And he was like, nope, you're missing it. And I was like, okay, like, you're going to have to help me with this. And he showed me, he's like, no, actually, faith is how I show my love for you.
Hmm.
And I was like, what? And I thought about it. Then I went back to Hebrews 11:1. So that first verse, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And then it hit me like, man, before I had done anything worthy of his love, anything worthy of a sacrifice, he came, died on the cross, and reclaimed this world. And then I started thinking about how God, he doesn't just see us as we are today. He sees us as we could be, as we should be, as we will be. And he speaks to us and he loves us everywhere along that spectrum. And it's actually his faith in us, his faith that reveals his love for us, that propels us forward into everything that he speaks over us, everything that he speaks over us. When it says in Ephesians 2 that we are the seated in heavenly places, like, that's a statement of faith. And so I started thinking about this. I'm like, wow, God, you are so good. This is how much you love us. This is what you see in us. Like, you don't just treat us as we are. You treat us as we could be, as we should be. And your patient love, first attribute of love, 1 Corinthians 13, your patient love is fueled by your faith. And then it struck me that in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that faith, hope, and love are the 3 qualities that bring the eternal into the temporal. They're the ones that will last forever. And I was like, wow, God, since you are love, faith is how you reveal that love for us. It completely wrecked me, and it did. It became the inspiration for my chapter on God's love language.
It reminds me of the story that Jesus told in Mark, I think it was chapter 9, about the boy that was demon-possessed, and his dad comes to him and is like, Jesus, heal him if you can. And Jesus is basically like, if I can. And he's like, and everything's possible for one who believes. And then the boy's father says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief.
Don't you love that line? That's one of my favorite lines in Scripture. And that's how God works with us. It's like the moment we turn to him and we're like, hey, you speak this over me. You've promise these things to me in your word. Like, I don't see it. Help me in my unbelief. That's when he's like, I got you. He's like, I got you. He's like, all I need you to do to turn is turn. That's it. Like, God will do everything for us. The only thing that he won't do for us is he won't kill us. Like, we have to die to self. That's the only thing he won't do. Because if he, quote unquote, killed us, if he killed that false self, that ugly thing that we call self, if he killed it, all we would be is a glorious robot. That's all we would be. But God's in the business of relationship. God is after us for relationship. If you study Scripture's narrative, it's ultimately a story of family, a story of covenant, a story of relationship. And he uses faith to show us just how much he loves us and to lead us into everything that he has for us.
We're talking with Addison Bevere today at SOS Radio. He has a new book. It's called Saints Becoming More Than Christians. I challenge you, as you're reading through the Gospels, look at all the times it talks about Christians. It doesn't talk about that. When it talks about Paul's writings, when Peter's writing, he's talking about saints way more than he ever says Christians. Thanks for checking in with us today, Addison.
Absolutely, Scott. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.